Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Judges. Let me give you, if you don't know about the book of Judges, let me give you an overview of the whole book of Judges in a few sentences. The book of Judges is from the end of the time of Joshua till Samuel comes, and Samuel's kind of thought of in some ways as the last judge in the book of Samuel. This whole book can be summed up this way. The people walk the wrong way. They choose to do that. God allows another nation to oppress them. The people call out to God for help. God helps them by raising up a leader to guide them and lead them during that time. And then there's a time of blessing again. And as the people live in a time of blessing, they go from following God to walking their own way again, and it starts the whole process over again. The whole book of Judges is that way. From the beginning with the first judge all the way to the end of the last judge in the book of Judges, it's this whole process of people walking their own way, being oppressed by another nation, calling out to God, God sending a savior through a leader, that leader leading and guiding them into a time of blessing, and the people then turn and follow their own way again. And the same thing happens time and time again. We find ourselves in Judges chapter 4. Let me read for you this story down through verse 10. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now that Ehud was dead, so the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Hashareth Hoygaim, because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lappidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinadab, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah, "but because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went with him. One of the things still talked about in our culture and our society now within some denominations is about women in leadership. And there are some within some denominations that have accepted women into leadership, and there are some denominations that have not. Unfortunately, that's one of the things that's happening in the Baptist life for us right now. Is a division among different churches of those who understand and see that God can call women into leadership and those who believe that women should not be in leadership. This passage shows me one great thing. a woman leader. A woman who led, a woman who guided. You see, the people were oppressed once again. I talked to you through that cycle that continues throughout this whole book. And Deborah's story only happens in chapter 4 and chapter 5, although she's thought of as one of the greatest leaders of Israel during the time of Judges. The people are oppressed, and it says they have been oppressed for 20 years. Now, it's their own fault, because they've been following their own ways. God had brought blessing to them over and above and beyond, and that blessing caused them to walk away from God and walk their own direction. But during this time, God raises up a leader. You see, the people cry out to God, and God calls a leader. The people cry out and they tell God, we need someone to lead us. We need someone to guide us. By the way, the beginning of this passage, it talked about when Ehud had died. Ehud was the previous judge. And for those of you that are left-handed, take great joy in Ehud, because he was left-handed. I would encourage you to go and read his story. And he got rid of the one who oppressed over them, especially because he was left-handed. So go and read that story sometime about what happened there and how he was able to get rid of the previous ruler in a way because he was left-handed. And that man was not on guard for a left-handed person. So there's an exciting thing for those of you. My wife's left-handed. She's not in here right now. So don't tell her I talked good about left-handed people. But you see, the oppressed people cry out. They call out, and God raises up another leader. This leader is Deborah, who serves as both prophet and judge for Israel. Now, she's not serving in just one role. She's serving in more than one. Remember, a prophet is one who is able to listen to God and hear what God has to say and share that with the people for their day. A prophet is not always talking about the far-off future. A prophet is not always talking about the end times. A prophet is one who specifically is God's mouthpiece to the nation, to the people. Okay? We need prophets today. We need people who hear God's voice clearly and can communicate it clearly to other people, so that we understand what God is saying to us. Contrary to popular belief, I don't get every piece of information God wants for this church. Some of that information you will get, and you need to speak that information. And I know sometimes people in churches are fearful about speaking a word. But prophets are important. And when God shares with you, you need to share with the rest of the community about what you've learned, about what God is saying. It's a process. It's a time where we're listening together. But Deborah was able to do this, and she was bringing the word of God to the people to help the people. And we'll deal a little bit more with that in a second. But she was also a judge, in the sense of what we think of as a judge in our day and age. People would come to her, and she would sit under the palm of Deborah, and she would sit there, and people would come to her, and she would help them decide the case of what this meant and what direction they needed to go on how things should be set right. So she's the one that's not only speaking the word of God, but she's also helping people with wisdom on how to decide things in their lives, how to apply the knowledge and how to apply. She is not only guiding them and leading them, she's teaching them, and she's helping them to grow in God's ways during this time. And then I want you to see what happens. She's able to hear God's voice so well that she calls their military leader, Barak, and says, you need to assemble an army to go against Sisera, the military leader. Now, in their day and age, it doesn't mean much to us that they had, what did it say? 900 chariots with iron. That's very important in their day and age. They had just learned how to use iron for so basically, let's put it in another way. They had 900 tanks to go against. Okay? That's kind of equal. I know it's apples and oranges, but it kind of gives us a better understanding. In their day and age, they had these chariots, and that these chariots were built with iron. And what does Deborah tell Barak? Deborah tells Barak, God has delivered Sisera and his army into your hands. Go and assemble an army and advance against them, because God will bring victory to us. Now, this is a leader. Deborah's a leader, bringing people together, guiding people, giving God's information to the leader of the army and saying, go. And Barak, there's nothing here that tells me that he sat down and go, wait a minute, a woman told me this, should I really listen? And for you guys that are married, if you ever have that thought, a woman told me this, should I listen? Stop right there. You're going down the wrong road. Okay? Right, Jerry? The wrong road. Because when your wife tells you something, amen. Amen. That's all. Jerry and I know, I've taught Jerry well, we know how to get the last word in with our wives every time. And that last word is yes, dear. And you turn around and walk off. Don't sigh when you say it. Don't roll your eyes. Yes, dear. And you walk off. But even more so here, Barak trusts deeply. He trusts Deborah very deeply. She was so trusted that Barak wanted her to go with him to fight Jabin's army. That's how much she was trusted. I want you to go with us. And in a way, what he's asking her is, show me how convinced you are that this is God's word. And if you are convinced that this is God's word, and you're convinced that we are going to be victorious over Sisera and his armies, if you are convinced of that from God, come with me and show me that. And Deborah says, I will go. And she decides to go along with him. But she does say one more piece now. She says, basically what she says is, because you just didn't fully trust and go, Sisera will not be led into your hands. But a woman will have victory over Sisera. Now, I didn't read the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that Sisera's army is completely demolished by Israel. And Sisera runs and hides in the tent of a woman and says to her, if anybody comes to the tent, say that there is not a man in here. And she puts him underneath the floor covering and gives him some milk to drink. He asks for some water, and she gives him some milk. And the thought is maybe that she gave him some milk to make him a little bit more sleepy, being warm underneath the rug, laying there quietly. And she goes and gets a tent peg and drives it through his head. When the army comes, he is already dead by the hand of a woman. She has already overtaken him. And not only does his army not exist anymore, but neither does he. And Israel had complete victory over their oppressors at that moment. I can't emphasize enough the importance of Deborah in this story. Because Deborah heard what God was saying. Deborah was able to communicate it to their leader. Deborah was able to say, I trusted enough that I will walk with you. I'll be there with you. That's how much I trust what God has heard me to say to you. And that God means this. Imagine what would have happened if Barak had not trusted her at all. Had not acknowledged that she was the leader that God had appointed at that time. Imagine what he would have said. Because their society is even more so than ours that women are second rate. Women in their society were property of their husbands or of their father. But what does Barak say? I trust you. Now, he doesn't trust her full enough to just go off and do it, but he trusts her and says, if you really believe this and you really believe this is what God, will you go with me and show me how much you believe what God has communicated to you? And Deborah says, I will lead. I will go. I can't emphasize enough in the importance of this woman's leadership at this time in the life of their nation. Here's what I want to tell you from what I believe and what I believe the Bible shows us. God calls women to be involved in all roles of ministry in God's kingdom. God calls women to be involved in all roles of ministry in God's kingdom. I have no doubt in my mind over that. Paul writes in the book of Romans, there is neither slave nor free man. There is neither Greek nor Jew nor Gentile. There is neither male nor female. We all are together in one body of Christ. And we all work together. I've had the opportunity, as the Ministers Association has gotten back together at the beginning of summer this year, after a 3-year of not being able to get ministers together, after 3 years, we started getting back together at the beginning of this summer, and instead of taking a break for the summer, we decided we're just going to keep right on going. Which has been a wonderful thing, because what we're trying to do with our ministerial association is not just get together and have a speaker come in and share with us about the different programs happening in our community. Most of the pastors already know about all the programs that are going on. We need a time to be together to support one another, to encourage one another, to share with each other our hurts, our pains, our joys, our excitements, and to get that out amongst all of us so that we can support one another and help each other. I want to tell you that I have learned that right now there's 3 ladies part of our organization who are pastors. And I have learned some exciting things from them. And I've learned how much God has called them. And I've learned how convinced they are that God has spoken to them to be a pastor. And go back to my time in seminary, which is a couple of decades ago, for those of you that are wondering. Some of the women that I sat with in classes are still a better pastor than I can ever be. Some of the women that I sat with, I would be glad to have as my pastor. They knew how to minister. They knew how to care. They knew how to reach out. They knew how to just sit quietly and pray. Absolutely incredible. I admire them. Did God call them? I'm convinced of it. Were they able to hear what God had to say? I'm convinced of that. Were they able to communicate it in a better way than I can? Yep. I strongly support women in all ministry roles. Strongly support them. I'm very happy to tell you that this week at the Virginia Baptist annual meeting, one of the women pastors in Virginia got up and spoke and said that it's time for our state convention to assemble a team of people to affirm, to help, to encourage women in ministry. And they're putting together a team to help women do that. And I strongly support that. And I'm excited that Virginia Baptist this week decided to do that. Such an encouraging thing, because I think of all the women I have met during all my ministry over the past 25 years who are pastors, and how gifted they were and how convinced they were that God called them. Folks, it's passages like this in the Bible that I stand on and say women have been called into ministry in dynamic and wonderful ways. The unfortunate thing right now in the midst of our denomination, the fight is over whether a woman serving in a role like that could be called pastor. Whether it's senior pastor, preaching pastor, teaching pastor, youth pastor, senior adult pastor, the fight in our denomination is you can't call them pastor. You can let them be involved in ministry, but you can't call them pastor. I can't go there. If nothing else, the three ladies that I have met that are part of our ministerial association, and two of them will be leading us next year. One of them stepped forward to say, I'll be chairperson next year. And another one stepped forward and said, I'll be vice chair. And all the guys said, phew, I don't have to do it. No, that's not how it went. The guys at the meeting said, we fully support you and look forward to it. Especially one of our oldest ministers that was part of the meeting. He said, you know, Tim, he said, we've never had a woman leader for our ministerial association. Don't you think it's about time? And we turned and looked at the two women in the room, and they said, nah, I got enough to do. And then they said yes. And I'm excited. I'm excited to follow Natalie's lead next year as leader of our ministerial association. Natalie Drummond is a pastor at West End Methodist Church. Jerry, she can sing. She can sing professionally. She can sing. She's a dynamic, wonderful person. This is her first church, and I want to do everything I can to support her. And I've told her that. First time I met her, it was a little bit of a tension because she was trying to figure out what flavor of Baptist I was. Was I the flavor that didn't accept women in ministry leads? Or was I the flavor that did? And I just looked at her and said, Natalie, if you've been called by God, I fully support you. And I'll walk with you, and I'll help you do whatever needs to be done. She's dynamic. And that church is doing some wonderful, wonderful things. It's growing where it hasn't been growing for years. And they're reaching out to people. What a wonderful thing. So here's what I want to say to you from my perspective and from what I understand about the Bible. We need to affirm, listen to, and follow the women God calls to be church leaders. Amen? We need to affirm, listen to, and follow the women God calls to be church leaders. And we need to do what we can to help them in their leadership role. Just as you pray for me and help me in my ministry role, we need to do the same, no matter who the people are. Male or female, slave or free, Jew or Gentile, we're all the same in the kingdom of God. We are all one. And we need to listen to the leaders that God calls. So I would ask you, how can we as a church support and affirm the women God calls to ministry? How can we as a church support and affirm the women that God calls to ministry? And as I throw that question out there, think about our women deacons. How can we affirm them and help them and encourage them in their ministry here in and amongst us in this church? I think it's important. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's some women in this church that know how to hear God well. And know how to share what God has to say. We need to help. We need to encourage. We need to pray for. We need to lift them up. We need to do everything we can for anyone who's called into the ministry of God. At whatever level and stage they're at. Will you? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you right now with a topic that it's dividing our denomination. And it's dividing many denominations from each other. Where there are some who have accepted women into ministry, and there's some who haven't. Lord, thank you for the example of Deborah. What an incredible example. How she was able to hear your voice and share that word, to share your wisdom with people, to help them. Lord, may we, as we see people called into the ministry, no matter who they are, may we find ways to support them, to encourage them, to pray for them, and to lift them up. Because, Lord, that may be the leader that guides us out of the oppression of this world. By your choice. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.